The Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Two verses from that Gospel reading. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Today, Christmas Day, we have John chapter 1. One of, frankly, the most famous chapters in the whole Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. While it's well known today, in the first 7 centuries or so of Christianity, it was incredibly well known. The period that's often called the patristic period, where they analyzed, debated over, discussed, and challenged this John 1 from every possible angle. And the reason this passage was so important for them is it's one of the most direct relationships where in the Bible where it talks about Jesus' relationship with God the Creator. And when I was an undergraduate, I thought I was going to be a historian of Christianity, so I decided I would really, really learn this stuff. By the way, I didn't become a historian of Christianity. I became an exegete of ancient Christian texts. And if you don't know the difference, I can't begin to go through there. But in studying this, I kept looking at those first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. The passage suggests who Jesus is, how Jesus relates to God the Creator. And in Christian history, there were huge debates about that, some that we probably can't fathom the volume of. Some thought that Jesus was like God, but not really God. After all, it does say he was with God, which makes it sound like something accompanying God. Some people did think, well, in fact, he was God. But was he before the beginning in Genesis? After all, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, we know what that beginning was. Was there something before that? Others thought, well, no, he was fully God, but maybe when he became human, then has become a little bit less, subordinated himself in order to take on flesh. Others said, no, this is of the same substance with God the Creator. And you had a litany of names to learn. And if you took a patristics class like I did, where you had to go in and you had this plate of names and events, and the final exam was going into the instructor's office and drawing one from the hat and saying, tell me who this is and what this is about. And because of who the instructor was, and his grasp of the knowledge, we always said it's like trying to explain the Bible to God. but you knew your stuff. At least that's what I thought. Because I could get a whiteboard out right now and go through the different church councils and the different figures, and you can learn all kinds of fun names like Apollinarius and Eutychus and things like that. But then, the second class I had on history of Christianity, that same teacher who we were just pulling our teeth out trying to get through said, well, now that you've learned all that, you've got it all wrong. Who cares what the relationship is between Jesus and God the Creator? We're not going to understand that. God's God. We're not. And what's more, this passage isn't actually about that at all. Not really. It has nothing to do with the speculative theology of the Trinity. This passage is about us. Theology, after all, is not the study of God, but it's the study of the way God relates with humans. This John 1 text that we so frequently focus on, we focus on the character of the Word. But that Word of God, in this same passage, says of us, to all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but God. You see, John 1 wasn't written so we could understand some tricky things about the character of God. John 1 was written so we could understand some of the difficult things about ourselves. It's a text written about the eternal Word of God who then becomes flesh. God became human, the theology of the incarnation. But I think we sometimes can miss how that affects us, how it's about us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I think some of us, when we hear that, think, well, sure, God became flesh. God became a human being. Jesus of Nazareth, born roughly 4 BC. And God did that. But if that were all, then it's great that Jesus has shown how a human could, in theory, be saved, encapsulated in himself. And good for him, wouldn't be a big help for the rest of us. See, the theology of the incarnation is not just that Jesus became a human. Jesus became humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And how did it dwell among us? Not just one human among a variety of other billion ones. Instead, the Word became all flesh. The Word didn't just take one human body, the Word took upon all human bodies. See, I think we're used to thinking Jesus becoming a human being, doing ministry, heading on the cross, dying, and being raised again. And we also know that Jesus saved us from sin and death. But I think sometimes we can think that the way Jesus has saved us from sin and death was on the cross and the resurrection. Before that, that other stuff is just prelude. That it's on the cross and resurrection that new creation comes forward, because finally the problems we humans have caused in this world have finally been solved. But the incarnation, at the very birth of Christ, it's already done. Not just at the cross. Jesus becoming all of humanity is creating a new humanity in Him. As Paul says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. The new way of being human didn't come with death and resurrection. It came with the incarnation. When Jesus brings that new humanity, when the Word becomes all flesh, it changes what human flesh is. And then it's not about how the Almighty and Everlasting God condescends to this poor humanity who are sinners and need to be rectified of that from some outside source. Humans are sinners and need to be rectified from an outside source. But rather than it being God's condescension alone, Another way to look at it is the way God raises humanity to the divine. Not saying that humans are forever poor and worthless, but by Christ's action, saying humans are valued and are indeed united to God. To all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The children of God born of God. That's not metaphorical language. It's actual. The incarnation is a theology of valuing us humans. Jesus becoming all humanity so that our humanity has changed. We can be called children of God. We can be said to be born of God. It's a new identity that we have due to the action and power of God. The real theology of the incarnation is not about how God became a human being in 4 BC. It's about the way God has become fully all of humanity at all times and all places. How right now you are born of God. You are united with God. The incarnation of the Word is here in and among us right now. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word has not stopped dwelling among us. We have been given power to become the children of God, born of God. Thanks be to God.